Shamati Yutet, Mao Shakadosh.
Again, Shamati number 19. What is the Creator hates the bodies in the work? The Holy Zohar says that the Creator hates the bodies. He said that we should interpret it as referring to the will to receive, called guf, body. The Creator created His world in His glory. As it is written, everyone that is called by My name and whom I have created for My glory, I have formed him, yet I have made him. Therefore, this contradicts the body's argument that everything is for it, meaning only for its own benefit, while the Creator says the opposite, that everything should be for the sake of the Creator. Hence, our sages said that the Creator said, He and I cannot dwell in the same abode. It follows that the primary separator from being in adhesion with the Creator is the will to receive. It is apparent when the evil comes, meaning the will to receive for oneself comes and asks, why do you want to work for the sake of the Creator? We think that it speaks as humans do, that it wants to understand with its intellect. Yet, this is not the truth, since it does not ask for whom one is working. This is certainly a rational argument, as this argument awakens in one with a reason. Instead, the argument of the wicked is a physical question. That is, it asks, what mean you by this service? What is this work? In other words, what profit will you have by the exertion you are making? It means that it asks, if you're not working for yourself, what will the body, called will to receive, get out of it? Since this is a bodily argument, the only reply is a bodily reply. He blunted its teeth, and had he not been there, he would not have been redeemed. Why? Because the will to receive for itself has no redemption, even at the time of redemption. This is because the matter of redemption will be when all the prophets enter the vessels of bestowal, and not the vessels of reception. The will to receive for itself must always remain in deficit, since filling the will to receive is actual death. The reason is, as we have said above, that creation was primarily for His glory. The interpretation will be that the essence of creation is to reveal to all that the purpose of creation is to do good to His creatures. This is specifically when one says that he was born to honor the Creator. At that time, in these vessels, the purpose of creation appears, which is to do good to His creations. For this reason, one must always examine oneself, the purpose of one's work, meaning if the Creator receives contentment in every act that one performs, because He wants equivalence of form. This is called, all your actions will be for the Creator. Meaning one wants the Creator to enjoy whatever he does, as it is written, to bring contentment to his Maker. Also, one needs to conduct oneself with the will to receive and say to it, I have already decided that I do not want to receive any pleasure because you want to enjoy. This is because with your desire, I am forced to be separated from the Creator, since disparity of form causes separation and distance from the Creator. One's hope should be that since one cannot break loose from the dominion of the will to receive, he is therefore in perpetual ascents and descents. Hence, one awaits the Creator to be rewarded with the Creator opening his eyes, and to have the power to overcome and work only to benefit the Creator. It is as it is written, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. That, meaning the Holy Shekhinah, divinity. And one asks that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The house of the Lord is the Holy Shekhinah. And now we can understand.
Until here, it's okay. To the point. In short, we don't have a choice but only to ask from the Creator to bring us salvation. Go on.
Now we can understand what our sages said about the verse, and you shall take you on the first day, the first to count the iniquities. We must understand why is there joy if there is room for an iniquity count here. He said that we must know that there is a matter of importance in the labor when there is a contact between the individual and the Creator. It means that one feels that he needs the Creator, since in the state of labor, one sees that there is no one in the world who can save him from the state he is in, but the Creator alone. Then one sees that there is none else besides him who can save him from the state he is in and from which he cannot escape.
Meaning it has to be a critical state along with the understanding, the knowledge that only the Creator can help. Is that clear, Gershon? What else do you need from these two conditions? It's not so critical yet, huh? Okay. Also not so certain the Creator will help. Both of them are lacking, okay? Yes?
This is called having close contact with the Creator. If one knows how to appreciate that contact, meaning that one should believe that then he is in adhesion with the Creator, meaning that one's entire thought is of the Creator, meaning that he will help him, otherwise he sees that he is lost. However, one who is awarded private providence and sees that the Creator does everything, as it is written, he alone does and will do all the deeds, he naturally has nothing to add. And in any case, one has no room for prayer for the Creator's help. This is because one sees that even without one's prayers, the Creator still does everything. Hence, at that time, one has no place to be able to do good deeds, since one sees that everything is done without him by the Creator anyhow. Thus, in that state, one has no need for the help, for the Creator to help him do anything. Thus, at that time, one has no contact with the Creator to need him to the extent that he is lost if the Creator does not help him. It follows that he does not have the contact that he had had with the Creator during the labor. He said that it is like a person who is between life and death and asks his friend to save him from death. How does one ask of one's friend? One certainly tries to ask one's friend to have mercy on him and save him from death with every power at one's disposal. He certainly never forgets to pray to one's friend, since one sees that otherwise he will lose his life. However, one who asks of one's friend for luxuries that are not so necessary, the pleading is not so much in adhesion with his friend to give him what he needs, to give him what he asks for, to the point that his mind will not be distracted from asking. You find that with things that are not related to life-saving, the pleading is not so, is not that adhesive with the giver. Thus, when one feels that he should ask of the Creator to save him from death, meaning from the state of the evil in their lives are called dead, the contact between the person and the Creator is close contact. For this reason, for the righteous, a place of work is to need the Creator's help, otherwise he is lost. That is what the righteous crave, a place to work so they will have close contact with the Creator. It follows that if the Creator gives room for work, these righteous are very happy. This is why they said, first, to the iniquity count. For them it is joyous to now have a place to work, meaning that now they have become needy of the Creator and can now come into close contact with the Creator. This is because one cannot come to the king's palace but for some purpose. This is the meaning of, and you shall take you. It specifies you. This is because everything is in the hands of God except for fear of God. In other words, the Creator can give abundance of light because this is what He has. But the darkness, the place of dearth, lack, this is not in His domain. Since there is a rule that there is fear of God only from a place of dearth, and a place of dearth is called the will to receive, it means that only then is there a place of labor. In what? In that it resists. The body comes and asks, what is the work? What mean you by this service? And one has nothing to answer to its question. Then one must assume the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason, as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load, without any arguments. Instead, he said, and his will was done. This is called you, meaning this work belongs precisely to you and not to me. Meaning the work that your will to receive necessitates. However, if the Creator gives one some luminescence from above, the will to receive surrenders and annuls like a candle before a torch. Then one has no labor anyhow, since one no longer needs to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven coercively as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load. As it is written, you who love the Lord hate evil. It means that the love of God extends only from the place of evil. In other words, to the extent that one has hatred for evil, meaning that one sees how the will to receive obstructs one from achieving the completeness of the goal, to that extent, one needs to be imparted the love of God. However, if one does not feel that one has evil, he cannot be granted the love of God. This is because he has no need for it, as he already has satisfaction in the work. As we have said, one must not be angry when he has work with the will to receive, that it obstructs him in the work. One would certainly be more satisfied if the will to receive had been absent from the body, meaning that it would not bring its questions to man, obstructing him in the work of keeping Torah and mitzvot. However, one should believe that the obstructions of the will to receive in the work come to him from above. One is given the force to discover the will to receive from above, because there is room for work precisely when the will to receive awakens. Then, one has close contact with the Creator to help one turn the will to receive to be in order to bestow.
Until here it's clear?
Is it clear this time?
It really is. I wanted to ask about this. He describes something here that a certain point where a person can ask for help from the Creator. And I wanted to ask you, what happens when a person isn't even in a state where he can ask for help from the Creator? He's given this his fear, an image that he can't even deal with.
About a spiritual picture? What is he being scared about? It's not worthwhile to approach here?
I'll give an example. A friend comes here, sees everyone in the end of correction. He goes out and he sees only... And he sees just demons and everyone outside is just scaring him. How does he cope with that?
He needs to go to the emergency room?
Seriously?
I'm saying seriously? It doesn't matter if it's a friend of yours. Don't tell anyone it's your friend.
It's a state, I don't understand.
Of course it's a state.
What, there are states we just don't look at and say they don't exist?
Sir, I spoke to many people in my lifetime. There are those that feel that there's a little demon here and a little demon here, you know, after drinking a lot, and all kinds of other things like that. He sees it. He grabs me. He says, look, 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 look on his shoulder there. Look, look on his shoulder. Look, look, be careful. And he's not laughing.
No, this person isn't drunk and I know that he's sane. That's what he's shown.
I told you, go to the emergency room with him together. I don't have what to say. That's it. You see spirits and demons, go with him to the emergency room.
Then he says here one more thing, and he asks his friend to save him from death. In what way? In all the strength that is in a person's ability.
Yes, because he needs a partner.
So now he's in a state that the friend is... He needs to ask for the friend. Because the friend too, he says, I need your help now. Like, let's say he says on WhatsApp, I need you to think of me. Now, the friends are in a state that they need strength to think, to pray for the friends, right?
Yes.
Now they need that strength, and they too are...
Okay, one will help his friend. I'm not saying that it's simple, or that it happens immediately. But on purpose, we are worn down until we say, I want. Thank God, everything is written in the books. You can't say that I'm taking it out of my own head. There's nothing to do about it. Read what's written and try to implement it. That's it. Don't follow your intellect and your ideas. They're all false. You can demand... Well...
And one should believe that from that extends contentment to the Creator, from one's praying to Him, to draw Him near by dvekut, adhesion, called equivalence of form, discerned as the annulment of the will to receive, to be in order to bestow. The Creator says about that, my sons defeated me. That is, I gave you the will to receive, and you ask of me to give you a will to bestow instead. Now we can interpret what is brought in the Gemara. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was going to redeem the captive. He came across the river Ginai. He said to Ginai, divide your waters and I will pass in you. He told him, you are going to do the will of your maker and I am going to do the will of my maker. You perhaps do, perhaps not do, while I certainly do. He said that the meaning is that he told the river, meaning the will to receive, to let him through it and reach the degree of doing the will of God, meaning to do everything in order to bestow contentment upon his maker. The river, the will to receive, replied that since the Creator created it with this nature of wanting to receive delight and pleasure, it therefore does not want to change the nature in which the Creator had created it. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair went war on it, meaning he wanted to invert it to a will to bestow. This is called waging a war on the creation, which the Creator had created in nature, called the will to receive. Which the Creator had created, which is the whole of creation called existence from absence. One must know that during the work, when the will to receive comes to a person with its arguments, no argument and no rationalities help with it. Though one thinks that they are just arguments, it will not help one defeat one's evil. Instead, as it is written, he blunted its teeth. This means to advance only by actions and not by arguments. This is called that one has to this is called that one has to increase manpower coercively. This is the meaning of what our sages wrote. He coerced until he says, "I want." In other words, through persistence, habit becomes a second nature.
Clear? Questions?
About the habit becomes a second nature by being persistence. It becomes spiritual discernments?
No. The habit that we do, the reforming light comes and brings us and reforms us.
Thanks.
The question is right. Yes.
About the virtue of patience and persistence. This is something a person is born with or he can increase it?
No one has patience and no one has persistence. You can see people here that, what are you saying? Can't be, you know, kind of people that are they're always on a slow pace. You'll see them and they're impatient. The Torah wears down one's forces. And then no one has patience. No one has the nerves. But the right work leads you to change. Prior to receiving the, how do we say it with the nerves? Before you get a mental breakdown, if you work correctly, you'll be having a collapse. Oh, now we have questions. Well.
He writes in the previous paragraph, and the reason is because everything is in the hands of heaven except for fear of heaven, meaning the Creator can give you the light of abundance because he has it. However, darkness and deficiency is not within his limit. What does it mean? What does it mean that there's something that happens in reality which the Creator does not control? This is what it says here?
That he's not giving. Everything's in the hand of heavens except for the fear of heaven.
It sounds like a very precise place of where we have to work in.
Creator gives everything but fear of heaven. Yes, do you hear that?
I hear it, I don't understand it.
Meaning there's fear of heaven that he does not give. When does he give it? When you ask for it. All the rest you'll get without asking. Do you hear?
I hear. Meaning the deficiency, the lack. It doesn't matter what, except for the fear of heaven, you will get everything. And how do I know what fear of heaven is?
When you want it and ask, you'll receive and you'll know.
Meaning I can ask for something that I don't even know what it is?
Yes, of course, many things in life. Even when you were a child, you were screaming, for what? Like that. Because for all of our cries, we also receive an awakening from above. Yes.
To continue the question, I'm asking for myself or the 10 guests into the picture here. Can Rav make the connection between these two points?
Certainly this depends on a person in what way he asks, whether for himself or for himself being included in the 10, or for the 10 as one component, or for the 10 and the Creator together, or just, it's all degrees of scrutiny. The way he sees the center of reality.
Thank you.
You see an intelligent person, nice, look how he asks. Nice. Yes. Our announcer. What's with him?
Friends ask me if I want to destroy everything after we have such a beautiful question, and I'm afraid I'm going to ruin things.
Yes, we're already used to you.
But still,
Again, to continue your answer to Eyal.
To who?
You told Eyal that everything is in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven.
Oh, him.
Yeah, him. So nonetheless, he says that it is like a clay in the hands of the potter. When he wants, he does this, and when he wants, he does that. What does it mean?
Before you go to ask, where does the Rabash write about that? You need to prepare yourself for the request. And when you ask for the right thing, that you're turning to someone that has what to give you, what you need, that it's in him, and so on. What are you bringing me? Sentences from, verses from Yom Kippur. Here, that's the matter. It's really true. But if you attain such things, do you know how good that is? That leads to joy, not to crying. That's the whole Day of Atonement, is the fact that we cry. I don't know how to explain it. It's a holiday. It's a celebration that you can turn to the Creator and be dependent on Him, and you feel that you're dependent on Him, and that you can raise requests to Him and be connected in such a way. It's true happiness. Well, with the general folk, it's opposite. The Torah of... Well, okay. They're two Torah.
One must especially try to have a strong desire to obtain the will to bestow and overcome the will to receive. The meaning of a strong desire is that a strong desire is measured by the proliferation of the in-between rests and the arrests, meaning the cessation between each overcoming. Sometimes one receives cessation in the middle, meaning a descent. This descent can be a cessation of a minute, an hour, a day, or a month. Afterwards, one resumes the work of overcoming the will to receive and the attempt to achieve the will to bestow. A strong desire means...
The thing is, not a number of pauses or stops, but rather, do we agree with them or not? That's what I want to say. A person enters into a state of despair or something. He's in a down. It's a gray situation, a little more, a little less. Right, Gershon? Not to agree with it. That's the matter. Not their frequency. Their frequency is going to be as a result of it. But not to agree with these pauses. This is something we need to simply, between us, battle it. And define it. And be in an attack, in such an atmosphere, that there are no stops. Yes?
A strong desire means that the cessation does not take him a long time and he is immediately reawakened to the work. It is like a person who wants to break a big rock. He takes a big hammer and hammers many times all day long, but they are weak. In other words, he does not hammer the rock in one swing, but brings the big hammer down slowly. After that, he complains that this work of breaking the rock is not for him, that it must take a hero to have the ability to break this big rock. He says that he was not born with such great powers to have the ability to break the rock. However, one who lifts this big hammer and strikes the rock in a big swing, not slowly, but with a great effort, the rock immediately surrenders to him and breaks down. This is the meaning of like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Similarly, in the holy work, which is to bring the vessel of reception into Kedusha, sanctity, we have a strong hammer, meaning words of Torah, that give us good counsels, However, if it is not consistent but with long intermissions in between, one escapes the campaign and says that he was not made for this. But this work requires one who was born with special skills for it. Nevertheless, one should believe that anyone can achieve the goal, though he should try to always increment one's effort in overcoming, and then one can break the rock in a short time. We must also know that for the effort to make contact with the Creator, there is a very harsh condition here. The effort must be in the form of adornment. Adornment means something that is important to a person. One cannot work gladly if the labor is not of importance, meaning that one has joy at now having contact with the Creator. This matter is implied in the citron. It is written about the citron, a fruit of the citrus tree, that it should be clean above its nose. It is known that there are three discernments: one, adornment; two, scent; and three, taste. Taste means that the lights are put from above downward, meaning below the peh, where there are the palate and the taste. This means that the lights come in vessels of reception. Scent means that the lights come from below upward. This means that the lights come in vessels of bestowal, in the form of receiving and not bestowing, below the palate and the throat. This is discerned as, "And he shall smell in the fear of the Lord," said about the Messiah. It is known that scent is ascribed to the nose. Adornment is beauty, discerned as above one's nose, meaning scentless. It means that there is neither taste nor smell there. Thus, what is there by which one can survive? There is only the adornment in it, and this is what sustains him. We see about the citron that the adornment is in it precisely before it is suitable for eating. However, when it is suitable for eating, there is no adornment in it anymore. This comes to tell us about the work of the first to count the iniquities. It means that precisely when one works in the form of "and you should take you," meaning the work during the acceptance of the burden of the kingdom of heaven, when the body resists, then there is room for the joy of adornment. This means that during this work the adornment is apparent. This means that if he has gladness from this work, it is because he considers this work as adornment and not as disgrace. In other words, sometimes one despises this work of assuming the burden of the kingdom of heaven, which is a time of sensation of darkness, when one sees that no one can save him from the state he is in but the Creator. Then he takes upon himself the kingdom of heaven, above reason, as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load.
But we talk that this should only be by the reforming light, and not that someone's going to effort and he'll have it. No, it's the light that has an influence, bestows through the connection in the ten, and our common desire. Just as it was written, that's how it works. Questions? Yes.
Chaim from Chadera is asking, what does it mean not to agree to a state of descent? If he disagrees, so the descent is not considered to be a descent?
Yes, you said it right. Or he asked correctly. Right, if I don't agree with the descent, it's not a descent, it's a place of work. A descent is where I feel that I lost the importance for the goal, for the work, for the action. That's a descent. A descent of importance. But if I don't agree, I'm not in a descent. I'm working. The fact that I feel inside of me some coolness, a cooling down, then of course it takes me out to an action, to efforts.